Good morning, my friends. Good morning. How are you today? That's good. I'm so glad for the privilege and so thankful for the privilege to come around the Word with you this morning. If I haven't met you before, my name is Renu and I'm one of the pastors here at Gateway. And just like a little something about me, a little tidbit that you might not know is I like hiking. I like multi-day hikings. I like being out in nature. Anyone else here a fan of nature or loving being out in nature, or any indoor kind of bodies here who just like to be indoors instead? Allergies or hay fever might cause you not to like outdoors. Yeah, a few of those as well. That's okay. God created us all uniquely and differently. But you know, talking about hiking, a couple of years ago, I remember a time some friends and I, we wanted to do the Milford Track. It's a world-renowned multi-day hike in New Zealand. Don, Raylene, you're from New Zealand and you probably know that this hike. And you know, people like wait on the waiting list to want to do this hike. So my friends and I were like, yeah, we want to do the Milford Track. So it was like, you have to book to do it the next year, like this year for the next year. And there's only a certain window where you can book to go for it. And, you know, my friends and I, we were ready. Like, we had all our devices out. We were like, refresh over and again. So it's like, you know, to book your tickets. And we're like, as soon as it opened at like whatever the time was, 9 a.m., we were like, all right, try and book it. And we went and we went and we went. But alas, we were not successful in getting it. They literally sold out in 15 or 20 minutes and the tickets were gone and we missed out. But, you know, we placed a lot of value on that and we pursued that and we were like, we placed great value on that. Have you ever done something like that? Have you ever pursued something of great value? You know, maybe it was a person that you fancied that you were going after. You know, maybe it was concert tickets. Anyone? I saw the little look over between Trent and Fee. Anyone else saw them on the front? I was like, yeah, I saw that. And she got it. She pursued and got it. Have you ever pursued like a concert ticket, or you wanted to go and see a show or something like that? Or maybe you were saving for something. I don't know if anyone remembers, like, it's a fair few years back now, but when in the height of the land sales in Armstrong Creek, there was like, I remember reading that people were like camping in their tents out a couple of days before so they didn't miss out on buying the block of land they wanted. You know, I think of Mason and Jackson a couple of weeks ago. Anyone know that the Nintendo Switch 2 came out? And so, like, these guys were, like, they were on. They wanted to pursue that Nintendo Switch 2. And they were, like, up and early, lining up outside EB Games in Leopold to get that Nintendo Switch 2. You know, they pursued something they valued. But this morning, I wanted to encourage you from the Word of God about pursuing something of infinite value. You know, these are all great things that we can pursue, but pursuing something of infinite value, pursuing relationship with God. You know, we've got it big on our wall here, relationship with God, pursuing knowing God. You know, my prayer is that through this message that Holy Spirit will stir something in you, will stir something in me to go even deeper in our relationship. You know, in video games, there's this term called leveling up. And my heart today is that we would level deeper, that we will level deeper, that we will say, God, you know what? I know you, but I want to know you more. I know a bit of you, but I want to pursue you more. So would you join me as we open in prayer? Holy Spirit, I just say, come this morning. Come and minister to our hearts. Come and stir our hearts. Come and put such a passion for you, a greater passion, a deeper passion for you. Would you speak to our hearts and minister to us? In Jesus' name, amen. So friends, if you're following along in your Bible this morning, which I encourage you to do, or on your Bible app, the passage of scripture we'll be looking at is from Philippians 3. Just to give you a bit of background, Paul in this passage is writing to the church in Philippi. To give some context as well, there was certain religious leaders who were claiming that there were certain practices or rituals that were a prerequisite or a requirement to salvation. You know, that it required one's own effort or one's own works. But we pick up Paul's letter here in Philippians chapter 3, and we're reading from verses 4 to 9 to start off with. This is Paul speaking. So Paul says, though I, Paul, could have confidence in my own effort, if anyone could. Indeed, if others have reason for confidence in their own efforts, I have even more. I was circumcised when I was 8 days old. I'm a pure-blooded citizen of Israel and a member of the tribe of Benjamin, a real Hebrew if there ever was one. I was a member of the Pharisees who demand the strictest obedience to the Jewish law. I was so zealous that I harshly persecuted the church. And as for righteousness, I obeyed the law without fault. Verse 7. I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. I no longer count on righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with himself depends on faith. You know, we look at these earlier verses and Paul gives some of his credentials, his accolades, as it were, that, you know, I'm a pure-blooded citizen. He was a learned man, a Pharisee who was well-versed in the law. He obeyed the law without fault. He did the right thing. But in verse 9, I love what he says, that he no longer thinks that through obeying the law he's made right. Instead, it's through faith in Christ. And you know, for us today, let me start by encouraging us that it's great to do the right thing. It's great to do good things. But right relationship with God is through faith in Jesus because of his grace. And you know, if you're here this morning and you've been pursuing, trying to do the right thing and trying to get it all right, but can I encourage you that restoration to relationship with God comes through faith in Jesus. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 to 9 says this, God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. Friends, aren't you so glad for his grace? The free gift of salvation we have because of his grace. That right relationship with him is because of faith in Jesus. But you know what Paul doesn't say here when he talks about his credentials? There's so much more to say. He was a highly educated intellectual. Tarsus was a prestigious university city, so he was well educated. He was a Roman citizen that gave him good standing in society. He was a tent maker by trade, which was a wealth-producing profession. You know, what he says in verse 4, I could have confidence in my own effort. It rings true. He could have had confidence in his own ability. But then in verse 7 or 8, I love what he says. Everything he once found value in, all these things, everything else he pursued seemed worthless compared to what God did for him, compared to what Jesus did for him. Friends, can I encourage you this morning for us today? True value is found through faith in Jesus. True value is found through faith in Jesus. You know, Paul had all these great accolades. He could have all these things that he looked to, but he found greater value in his relationship with God compared to anything else. Now, please hear my heart here, that it's not that we need to discard everything else or say that, you know, nothing else, I'm not going to do anything. Everything else is worthless and pointless. There are wonderful things that God has given us in this world to enjoy. There are wonderful things that are often God given, our family, our friends, our work, our study, our careers, our hobbies, our entertainment. You know, there's many things that God has given us to enjoy. It's great to pursue these things, careers, achievements, serving the body of Christ, success. But at the end of the day, can I encourage you that they should not define who you are? That true value is found through faith in Jesus in pursuing him. You know, for me, growing up in a society where a lot of emphasis was placed on accomplishment or value or a success or, you know, how you were going in your career, I often felt this expectation that I needed to prove myself, that my value was tied into what I did rather than who I was. And I had to go on the journey of unlearning this, of learning that, you know what, yes, there's great things that I can do, there's great things I can achieve, but my pursuit of knowing him, my pursuit of seeking after God, of going deeper with him is worth more to me, and my value is found because of who I am, not because of what I do. You know, I still want to do like the things I do well. I still want to pursue excellence in what I do. It's not like I'm like, okay, I'm just going to sit around and do nothing because I'm pursuing knowing God. I still want to pursue things, but my heart's motivation has shifted. That the priority comes from God. I want to know you. I want to go deeper with you. And then I will go after whatever you put in my hands to steward well. Yeah. You know, they pale in comparison, all these things that I can do compared to the infinite value of knowing you. You know, and this is something I still have to remind myself of, because sometimes that weight of expectation or needing to achieve can trip me up. You know, maybe you have a similar experience. Maybe sometimes the weight of expectation of wanting to please people, of wanting to meet what people expect of you, can trip you up. Or perhaps your experience is the opposite, that no one has placed expectation on you or no one has required anything of you. So it can lead to a sense of, oh, well, I'm just going to cruise along through life. It can lead to a lack of motivation, even apathy. Can I encourage you from this scripture then, Ephesians 2:10, wherever you find yourself on that spectrum, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. Can I encourage you with the duality of this verse, that we are God's masterpiece? My friend, you have inherent value in you because God created you in his image for relationship with him. You have inherent value because of that. You know, Sally, let me encourage you this morning that you have an inherent value, that the weight of expectation doesn't need to weigh you down because you have an inherent value, not because of anything you do, but because who God has called you to be. But you know, the second part of that duality, that you have good works that God has planned for you. And you know, Aaron, way up the back there, can I encourage you this morning that you have good works that God has planned for you to do? And I'm just reminded of Gideon in this moment, that Gideon was hiding in the wine press, but then the angel came and met him and said, "You mighty man of valor." And he was like, "What? Me? Who me? Can't be me." But you are a mighty man of valor, and God has good things that he has planned for you to go. So can I encourage you to pursue those things? That is the duality of it, that you are, have inherent value because of relationship with God, because you are created in his image, but he has good things planned for you to do. He has good things planned for you to do. Isaac, he has good things planned for you to do, that he, you have a plan and purpose in him. Pursue those things. He has good things for you to do, but you are his masterpiece first and foremost. You are his masterpiece. You know, my friends, be encouraged that he has good works for us to do. Pursue what he created us to do, but be encouraged first and foremost to pursue the one who created you. Because can I encourage you, my friends, pursuing Christ, knowing Christ is that of infinite value. Knowing Christ is that of infinite value. Let's go back to verse 8. Paul says here, "Yes, everything else is worthless when compared to the infinite value of knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage so I could gain Christ." You know, the Greek word here for knowing in verse 8 is gnosis. It comes from the root Greek word of ginosko, which can be translated to mean to learn, to know, to perceive, to feel, to understand. You know, it's just not a head knowledge, but it's an experiential knowledge, a knowledge that experiences God. You know, and we see the same word, ginosko, used in Philippians 3:10 as we read on, "I want to know Christ," Paul says. I want to ginosko, to experience, to perceive, to learn, to understand Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. Friends, for us today, knowing Christ is an experiential knowledge. It's not just a head knowledge, it's an experiential knowledge. You know, it's not about knowing about God or having these facts about God, but knowing him personally, to experience him. You know, this word ginosko is the same word that Jesus uses when he says he's the good shepherd in John 10:14. "I am the good shepherd. I ginosko, I know my own sheep, and they know me. They experience me, they perceive me, they understand me." It's the same word that Jesus uses in John 17:3. "And this is the way to have eternal life, to know you, ginosko you, to know you, to experience you, the only true God and Jesus Christ, the one you sent to earth." Friends, can I encourage you this morning that you and I can know God personally and deeply, that he knows you deeply and personally, but you and I can know him deeply and personally. Knowing him is the way to eternal life, and that we can experience the width, the depth, the height and length of his love for you. You know, this is what Paul says in the church, in his letter to the church in Ephesus. This is my prayer for us, for me, for you and I today. Ephesians 3 verse 18 to 20. To 18 to 19, "And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, how deep his love is. May you experience," that's that word again in the Greek, ginosko, "may you experience, may you know the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully." And then the "then" with it, "then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and the power from God." Can I encourage you, the outcome, the why of pursuing God, in knowing him and experiencing love, it brings fullness to life. It brings a wholeness, an abundance to life. As you know, as you experience the love of Christ, then you will be made complete with all the fullness of God and the power that comes from God. You know, that's the power that you can experience each day. That is the infinite value of knowing Jesus for you today, for you for tomorrow, and for our eternity. That the power of God is available to you each and every day. And we see that as we look back in Philippians 3, Paul talks about this again. If we read verse 10 and 11 again, he says, "I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that one way or another, I will experience the resurrection of the dead." Now, full vulnerability here. Does anyone else read that bit there and go, oh, I love that. I want to know Christ and experience his power. And then you go, I want to suffer with him sharing in his death. I read that and go, maybe less. I want to know the resurrection. Maybe less wanting to do that. That, you know, yes, I want to experience you. I want to know you. I want to experience your power. But this suffering, maybe less. Anyone else kind of feel like that when you read that? Yeah, full disclosure. I definitely read that and feel like that. But can I encourage you that this second part is just as valid in knowing Christ? Can I suggest to you this suffering with him sharing in his death means dying to your old self, giving up your own ways, giving up your old habits, leaving your past behind, the things that, as Pastor Phil spoke about, that the enemy can try and trip us up with and try and trick us with, leaving those things behind. That this part of, I want to suffer with him sharing his death, it's a death to self, death to things that might hold us back. You know, this is what Jesus says in Matthew 16:24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way. Take up your cross and follow me. Galatians 2:20 says, my old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live it, but Christ who lives in me. The life I live now, I live by faith in the one who loved me and gave himself for me. You know, as we pursue this knowing Christ, yes, we pursue that experience with him, but there are things we need to leave behind. There are things we need to lay down. Because can I encourage you, pursuing knows Christ requires something of us. Pursuing knowing Christ has a cost to us. You know, I think of Mason and Jackson. I won't tell you the full story, but you can ask their parents or them later. When they went down to get those switched to, there was a very early in the hour of the morning that they got up and went there. You know, the shop opened at 7 o'clock, so you can imagine the number that would go before that in order to be there, to be in the line. It required something of them. It required to get them out of bed earlier than normal, and their parents as well. You can ask Pastor Lee and Trent. They did something out of the ordinary to pursue what they wanted. Is that the same for us in pursuing Jesus? You know, see, because pursuing knowing Jesus, pursuing that depth with God requires something of us. It has a cost. But what could that look like? What's the outworking of pursuing knowing Jesus? Can I give you a few tips or handy things that I'm learning or still continue to learn? Firstly, reordering our priorities to allow space to grow a relationship with him. You know, it could be putting spiritual practices into our weeks, into our days to get to know him better. Reading the Bible, prayer, worship, attending church regularly, choosing church over something else, being connected to other followers of Jesus. Could it be perhaps laying aside certain things, watching 5 minutes less of YouTube or Netflix, as much as I love YouTube and Netflix as much as the next person, you know, waking up 5 minutes earlier, going to bed 5 minutes later so that you have a bit of time to spend with God. And I know as I look across the room, many of you pursue this already. Many of you go after this. Well done. Keep at it. Keep doing it. That these are things that take us deeper with God. So prioritizing things or changing habits. Perhaps number two, it's positioning yourself to meet with God, to be encountered by him. You know, that when I preached about a month ago, I spoke about encountering Jesus from the story of Paul on the road to Damascus, that it's a moment where God encounters us that have changed us, that have transformed us, that changed trajectories, that encountering Jesus has the potential to set us free. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. That there are moments where we encounter Jesus, that he can set us free, that he can deliver us, that he can bring us direction, that he can refresh us and empower us. Can I encourage you, let's continue to be people that pursue his presence. In Acts 3, when Peter was talking to the church, he said, times of refreshing come from the presence of the Lord. Let's be people that pursue his presence. You know, positioning yourself at the summit, as we heard from the video, is a great opportunity. We position ourselves, we posture ourselves to hear from you. Let's be people that position ourselves, whether here, whether in our personal quiet time, that say, come Holy Spirit. Come Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says this, now the Lord is Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. To say, come Holy Spirit, bring your freedom to the areas that I need freedom. Bring your freedom to where I need breakthrough, the things that have held me bound. Bring freedom where there is anxiety, where there is fear. Come Holy Spirit and bring your freedom. Let's be people who position ourselves to allow God to encounter us. But number three, the outworking of this pursuing knowing Christ. Let's be people who ask Holy Spirit to work on areas in our life that need his refinement. To ask Holy Spirit to bring areas in our life where we need to become more like him. See, because can I encourage you this morning, can I suggest this morning that there's a duality here again, that pursuing God through our spiritual disciplines, through our habits, through encountering him, but it also requires allowing God to refine us. They work in tandem. They work together. What do I mean by this? You know, if I'm spending an hour a day studying my Bible and then I go home and speak sarcastically to my family or to my friends or my workmates, am I really pursuing knowing Jesus? There's a bit of a mismatch there. You know, if I spend an hour in prayer or in prayer and fasting and then I go off and watch something on the TV that I probably shouldn't be watching or watch a show that I probably shouldn't be watching, am I really pursuing knowing Jesus? Can I encourage you this morning? I don't say this to bring heaviness or shame or condemnation. There is no condemnation for us who are in Christ Jesus. But can I encourage you that in pursuing know Jesus, there's something that is required of us to step up. You know, I'm preaching this to myself. You can ask Bevan. There's times when I get a bit short or sarcastic or grumpy, but I'm constantly going, Holy Spirit, little prompting there, I need to say sorry. Remind me of what I need to grow in. Because see, in pursuing knowing Jesus, it's not just about spiritual disciplines or habits or disciplines. It's not just about, God, I'm here to encounter you. But there's duality of saying, God, make me more like you. Holy Spirit, refine in me the rubbish that I need to get off that's in me. The things where I'm grumpy or sarcastic or I can be cruel to people or I can be unkind or I get angry. The things where I do things that I shouldn't do. Holy Spirit, would you help me with that? Because the great news is, you know, friend, we don't have to do this in our own strength. We can ask God to help us with those things. In Philippians 2, 12b to 13, it says, so you must continue to live in a way, how we live matters, that gives meaning to your salvation. Do this with fear and respect for God. Yes, it is God who is working in you. Aren't you glad God works in you and I? He helps you do what pleases him, and he gives you the power to do it. That he enables to it. You know, there's areas in your life that you know, hey, I need to be refined in that. I'll be the first person to say, yep, there's areas I need to be refined. But as I allow Holy Spirit to work on those things, as I allow Holy Spirit to bring strength to areas that I need to bring strength, as I allow Holy Spirit to bring freedom where I need freedom, that he continues to refine me to make me more Christ-like. Can I encourage you that it may require working through some of those things, whether it's hurts or traumas with the professional, so that you can walk in the freedom God has for you. Can I encourage you, if that's what you need, to pursue that so that we can become more Christ-like in the ways we think, in the ways we speak, we act and behave to those around us? Because can I encourage you that as we pursue those things, as we pursue becoming more Christ-like, as we pursue knowing him, that those people in your sphere of influence, your friends and family, those in our community will see beautiful Jesus in you and I. We will shine brightly for him as we pursue knowing him and pursue becoming more like him as the team comes. You know, and you might hear all this morning and hear what I'm saying and being like, this is unattainable. Like, I have so far to go. I'm like here, I want to be there and I'm here. You know, you might feel like this season in life, I just feel like it's impossible for me to do those things that I need to do. You know, my life is busy. My life is full with work or family or challenges. You know, again, my heart is here not to make you feel guilt or shame or heaviness, but to spur you on this journey. Because can I encourage you that knowing Christ, pursuing that of infinite value, is an ongoing journey of pursuit. Paul says it himself. If you're still on the journey of pursuing, if you feel like you haven't arrived, can I encourage you, you're in good company with every other follower of Jesus. We are all still on this journey. Paul says it himself in Philippians 3 verse 12, if we go back to Philippians. He says this, I don't mean to say that I've already achieved all these things or that I've already achieved perfection. You know, sometimes we think Paul was this like superhero-y, like had everything done right. But I don't mean to say I've achieved all these things. I've already achieved perfections. But I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. I press on. Paul himself hadn't already achieved it all, but he presses on. And you know, the Greek word for press on, dioko, is to pursue. To pursue, to seek after, to eagerly go after. Friends, knowing Christ is an ongoing journey of pursuit. Can I encourage you this morning? Keep pressing on. Keep pressing on. Keep pursuing it. You know, whether you've been a Christian for or a follower of Jesus for one day or 70 years or anything else in between, keep pressing on. There is more to grow in. There is more to know. I find the more that I've never arrived. Like the more I find about God, I've like just touched the tip of the iceberg. The more there is to know. But also the more I get to know, more I get to know God, the more in awe of him I am. I'm like, God, I can't imagine, who am I? A mere human, a mere person, but you pursue me. You know me. You love me. That as we go deeper, there is more depth to find. That as we pursue Him, there is more to know. Keep pressing on, my friend. Keep pressing on. Keep pursuing those spiritual practices. Keep pursuing the encounters with Him. Keep pursuing and saying, Holy Spirit, would you work in my heart? Would you refine those areas in my life that need refinement? Would you remove the rubbish that is not of you from there so I can keep pressing in all that you have for me? Keep pursuing Him. It is of infinite value. Keep allowing Holy Spirit to refine you. Keep pressing on. Keep pressing on. And you know, as I come to the end this morning, if you're here in this room and you don't know Jesus personally, if you're watching online and you don't know Jesus personally, you know what I said at the start? True faith, true value is found through relationship with God. And that's the first step of following Jesus. The first step of knowing Him personally is putting your faith in Him. In Philippians 3, what did Paul say here? He says, I no longer count on my righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I became righteous through faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with Himself depends on faith. Friends, can I encourage you this morning that God loves you and I so much that He sent Jesus to the earth for us. Jesus lived a perfect life, which qualified Him to go to the cross for the things that you and I have done wrong, our sins. His death, His burial, His resurrection made a way for us to be restored to right relationship. He created the pathway for us to be made right. It depends not on our own ability, not our own credits, not our own efforts, but on faith in Jesus. Romans 10:9 says this, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. And friends, can I encourage you, if you're here this morning or you're watching online now or a later date, that I would love to lead you in that prayer if you have not made a faith commitment to say, I want to know you personally. It's not about knowing about God in your head or hearing about God or learning about, but a heart experience that goes, I want to put my faith in you. So in a moment, I'm going to lead the church in a prayer that they will repeat after me. And can I invite you to join in that prayer if you'd like to? So church, why don't we close our eyes and repeat after me? Dear God, I thank you that I can know you personally. I thank you that I can have relationship with you. I declare with my mouth, Jesus, that you are Lord. I believe that you died, you were buried, and rose again so I could be forgiven. I'm sorry for the things that I've done that are wrong. I turn to you and I choose to follow you. Teach me your ways. In Jesus' name, amen.
We pray that that message was a blessing to you. If you made a decision to follow Jesus, first of all, congratulations. We think that that is incredible. And secondly, if you go to gc.org.au/first steps, our team has put together some resources, as well as there's some information there for how you can get in contact with one of our pastors, because we'd love to encourage you and connect you into the life of the church.